One, two, three, four. Just another day at my dead-end profession. I'm living day to day. Yeah, listening to some good old country records on the radio. And yeah, what else can I say?
Hey, we're back. I'm Ryan with Dave and Bobby. I got nothing. What do you guys got?
Good sound, man. Sorry about that sound mix-up last week.
I think you're the only one that noticed the
sound. Literally.
No way. That was such horrible horseshit sound.
You should see a doctor about your ears. Yeah, some kind of weird superhuman frequency hearing.
Our mics got fucking shut off. Unfortunately, there was a problem with our boards, and the mics got shut off, and we had to use like the whole room audio sound, which is the mic that just gets the whole room that I used to balance out the sound later, and it was just such horseshit. Anyway, I apologize to the listeners who had to listen to that.
Yeah, we're sorry to the one person listening that cared, which was also Bobby.
You know what, by the way? Apology not accepted. You're not just automatically forgiven just because you say I apologize. That's not how that works.
Okay, what can I do to make this up to you, Dave?
I don't know. We'll figure out some vigilante justice shit.
What if my punishment was that Dave made me make the sound for this episode real shitty?
This is what shitty sound is like. You don't know what you're talking about.
How was your week, by the way?
I had an interesting incident happen. Now, you guys might not experience this as much, not being the father of a toddler, but
as soon as you say interesting incident, I always think vigilante justice.
No.
Hit the music.
That's where my head goes.
This was not a vigilante justice. This was somebody almost having to pull vigilante justice on me. So anyway, my wife and I decided we're going to go to the park with our dog and our baby. So we load everybody up into the car, drive out to the park.
Some lonely guy just killed himself.
Yeah. Go to the nice neighborhood nearby that's not in the ghetto. Go to Kensington.
There's no ghetto here.
Quite the ghetto. There's literally a crack dealing pimp across the street. I call that the ghetto. When we
profiling. Did you buy a woman or crack from him? Well, then you don't know these things.
We've had to interrupt him from beating his women in the middle of the street.
Oh, okay.
Why were you interrupting him?
Don't beat them in the middle of the street.
Because I'm a fucking vigilante.
You're more like a parking lot patty.
Regardless, we decided to go to the park and take the kid there, and we load up everybody in the car. We get out, and as we're walking up to the park, our dog is just wild, and we realize she...
Where's the pimp?
We realize she hasn't been out in too long, and my wife's like, listen, why don't you just walk her around the block, take her on like a half-mile walk real quick. I'll take the boy into the park and play with him. We'll tire the dog out before you bring him into this place.
I just love when a parent calls their child the boy.
Yeah.
Or the kid.
That's how my dad would refer to me at restaurants, like to the waiter. He'd be like, the boy will have water.
Yeah, it's just so, there's, I don't know.
Also on your birthday. So she goes into the park with my son, and I go walking around the block. So about 15 minutes later, I show back up, meet my wife briefly at the gate to the park, say hi to my son. And then as we're doing that, a little girl who's like maybe 5 wanders up and just starts talking to us the way little kids do. They see you with your dog. They want to pet the dog. They want to talk to the other little kid. And my son,
where's the best place to get crack?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I could tell you where to get horse. And my son kind of toddles.
A little beat up.
After like maybe 2 minutes, my son toddles off, and my wife obviously follows him into the park. I'm trying to follow him too, except this little girl is mid-conversation. She's petting my dog. She's telling me how much she likes petting this dog and how she had a dog, but her parents are divorced, and now she can't see the dog.
Kids are the worst.
She's in the middle of a story.
You have no obligation to just not walk away from this kid. Yeah.
And that's what I'm
5-year-old.
Right, and that's what I'm thinking, but I also like don't want to
be a dick. Is she going to go on her Facebook and be like, rude?
She's going to need therapy.
She's going to give me a bad Yelp review.
The producer of the Degenerate Podcast is a dick.
Not only can he not do sound, he is just rude.
If I could give him 0 stars, I would.
So my wife and my son wander off. And again, I've only been back at this park for about 3 minutes. And this girl is sitting there talking to me, playing with my dog. Her little sister comes up and she's like, this is my little sister. And now they're both playing with my dog. And then all of a sudden, I spot from the corner of my eye, I spot this mom that sees what's going on.
Parking in a handicap zone. I'm like, kids, I'm sorry. I've got to handle this.
She clearly like looks up, sees her daughters talking to the weird guy with the dog at the kids' park who doesn't, to her knowledge, she knows all the kids who are in this park. She's been there for the past 30 minutes. I am not associated with any one of them because my wife was there alone with my son. I am the creepy guy with the dog who's come to the children's park and is now talking to her kids in a weird, intimate conversation.
You might as well have had a pillowcase full of candy.
She did the
and handcuffs.
She walked toward me the way a border collie walks towards a sheep. Like, she did that, like, hunched walk and, like, eyes pinned me.
She's
and
assembling a blowgun as she gets closer.
And I look and I realize what's going on. I'm like, oh, man. Like, how do you even get... Do you just yell, I'm not a molester, and run away? Like, what do you...
You know, I hate when we're put in that situation where, you know, because men are creeps. They are. And we are. And what happens with me, I've never been in your particular situation. By the way, how did you get out of that?
Basically, the kid was in the middle of the sentence, and she was like, yeah, and my dog's hair is brown. And I was like, yeah, that sounds great. And I literally got up and beelined.
Oh, dude, that makes it look worse.
No, well, I beelined for my wife and son, picked up my son, and was like, hey, son, is mine, who is half my genetic material and my reason for being here.
He picks up, I got one, and he runs away.
That actually would have been hilarious.
See, this is why... Your wife is not the queen of pranks that I thought she'd be. This is her life going, help, help.
I don't know this man.
Put him down, police.
Well, here's the thing. I tried to explain this to my wife because the second she got up and walked away, I was like, oh, this isn't good. This is just not a good scene. But they don't understand. Women don't understand that it is weird for a grown man to be sitting there talking to them. They don't experience that weirdness or that weird vibe that other mothers will give you if you're just a random dude talking to their kid. So they don't recognize it. And as she wandered off, I was like, oh, this might be bad. And it eventually was. And I tried to explain to her like afterwards, hey, did you see what just happened there? And she's like, okay. Yeah, I think you're being paranoid. I'm like, no!
Yeah. Similar to a previous idea I had, I think there should be a special vest you can wear.
Sure.
That you can only get from a doctor who helped birth the baby.
Okay.
Like, I am a father.
Oh, I like this.
I am allowed to be in this kid's park. It's beneficial for everyone. Suspicious parents and accused parents alike.
And by the way, then if you really do want to catch child molesters, you just put up a Craigslist ad for counterfeit vests.
Oh, right.
Anybody who shows up.
Oh, that guy's up to no good.
They got bad intentions.
Right. Now, what will happen to me, and this happens a lot, is particularly when I'm going to or from a comedy gig, especially at our home club here in town, the Madhouse, you know, you got to park in this structure in downtown at night. You know, there's no comedy shows during the day. Anytime I'm going to or from a comedy show, it like clockwork, there will be a young, attractive woman a few yards ahead of me and just happens to be making all the same turns that I'm intending to make. Right. And I can feel her fear and apprehension as a 6'1" dude in black clothes with a caveman face comes behind her. And she's like, oh, no. But unbeknownst to her, I'm like, please don't turn right. I have to turn right. She fucking turned right. So I have to start doing things to like make myself appear less threatening. I start whistling and skipping, and now I look insane.
That just sounds more intimidating. That's Clockwork Orange.
Yeah,
type of shit.
I just
right
like
there.
The idea of like, how do I make myself look?
Produce a big lollipop. Yeah. You know, like,
he's just like yelling things like, "I don't have any knives. Yeah. No knives."
Yeah, I am not a rapist. Oh, that is something a rapist would say.
He puts on his vest. He's like, "No, I've been vetted."
Sometimes I want to be like, can I just walk in front of you so you know that there's nothing? But then they'll just come out like, stop!
I feel like the only thing you could do is loudly announce where you're going. Like, no, I'm heading to the madhouse. Like, I'm going
all right,
there.
About to take a right turn at this corner.
I'm just letting you know, I'm going right. So if you turn right, it has nothing to do with you. By the way, get over yourself. So that'll happen quite a bit.
Back to Bobby's real quick. I just have to point out, like, I feel like there's a little white privilege there, too. Because if you were not, like, the poster child of the Aryan Nation.
Right.
That woman would have been on her phone to the cops.
So, funny thing you say that, because there was a very large black man who was sitting next to me on the thing and had his kids around there.
And he was murdered by police shortly after the story.
No, but, like, he had his two little boys with him, and, like, he kept going way out of his way to making sure his two little boys weren't like disturbing the other kids, because his boys were like a year or two older than the other toddlers who were trying to go up the slide. So he would constantly go up and be like, hey, you got to go around. Stop doing that. You're going to get in their way. They're little kids. You got to go do this. And I thought to myself for a second, I wonder how much of his concern is being a giant black man in like a ritzy white neighborhood that he's got to make sure his kids aren't disturbing the other little white kids.
And I wonder how much of that is his kids are just assholes. They're walking around people in the face.
Hey, let me tell you, those kids were the best fucking kids in that playground. They were the most obedient, the least disruptive kids in that fucking playground.
So last night, I had a friend come over, one of my best friends, and he was coming over for dinner, and he's bringing his new girl he's seeing. They just met. And me and my wife, little apprehensive to meet her, only because this is one of those friends that has a long storied history of just choosing abhorrent people to be with.
100%. I know that guy. Yeah.
Like, they're just...
every time it gets like, every time you're like, oh, thank God, he's finally not with that one anymore.
Right.
He finds he you think he's hit rock bottom. He grabs a pickaxe.
Right.
So anyways, we're like, oh God, look, let me just give you a rundown. Like of the last one is just like he and I used to be roommates. We didn't. He went on deployment after we moved out. We didn't talk for like a couple years. But then when we were just reconnecting as friends, he's like, yeah, this is all over the phone. Yeah, I met this new girl, and I think she something's wrong with her, I think she's out of her fucking mind. I don't really like her, but I got her pregnant. Uh-huh. So, yeah, that's going on. I was like, well, this all sounds great.
Yeah, well, it's especially bad when the guy with the bad taste already knows something is wrong, right? The guy who is stereotypically, when he says, this is the girl for me, is already fucked up and wrong. If he's like, this one is wrong, that's like the guy with the broken down car shopping going like, this car is too fucked up for me.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a little bit like that. And now, that was the first I heard of her. The second time, we were all supposed to meet up because back when I lived in the actual ghetto, Bobby, in Lakeside, they were at some show near my house, literally going to be walking past my house with all the other transients that fucking kind of went there. And we were supposed to meet up. He gives me a call like, yeah, no, we're not going to be meeting up. And in the background, I hear, fuck you! And he's like, yeah, she got really wasted. I'm like, isn't she pregnant? He's like, yeah.
Oh, God.
Anyway, she's caused a scene. She's currently taking swipes at me. Stop. Stop it. And I'm like, so that was the second impression.
Wow.
And then finally, when I got to meet this chick, we all went to this bar in OB. And we met up with her, and she is visibly pregnant and visibly wasted.
Oh, my God.
And I'm like,
I'm drinking for two. I got to get more.
Well, here's how this all went down is as I see her. She's, think Courtney Love in the worst stretches of her story.
So think Courtney Love.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Courtney Love at any point. Think Pam Anderson roast era Courtney right. Love. And she's just like, so she walks up and goes, if fucking play poker. I'm like, what? And she's like, he sucks. I got a friend to play poker with. I'm like, nice to meet you.
You've been poked enough, man.
So, yeah, and he's just looking at his shoes and shaking his head at this point. Like, I don't know what to do. And I'm like, is she fucking as drunk as she looks? He's like, yeah. And I was like, how are these people even serving her? Like, they are all accomplices.
Right.
And like, apparently what she was doing, she would go up and say, I need 2 tequila shots. Don't worry, they're not for me, obviously. And then she'd go across the bar and down both of them. But she got so wasted that she forgot that she was this little ruse she was carrying on. So at one point, she goes back for more tequila shots, forgot she was pregnant and that they were looking at her weird, and just took the shots right in front of them. They're like, get the fuck out of this bar. And she picked up the pint glass and threw it at the bartender. And that was my third taste of that lady. So anyway, that's the track record.
Wow.
Bobby, legal question, since you're a resident expert on all things. Could you report her to Child Protective Services?
100%.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
She's an angry child.
That happened. Anyways, so have you ever, this is the point of it. By the way, the girl he brought over last night, very nice, very cool. It was a shock. We're like, we were waiting for her at any point to like pick up the roast and throw it at Aaron.
She only did 2 keg stands while pregnant. It was such a relief.
Yeah. She's like, we're eating steak and you've only given me butter knives. What's going on?
Why do I have to cut this with a spoon? How come there's corks on the end of everything? That's a pretty strong padlock on that liquor can. You know what? The whole time we're just waiting for the other shoe to drop.
Yeah.
You know, but it's like, all right, she's got 8 kids with 8 different dudes, and then they're all in jail. Come on, something. It's like, nope, no kids, single, very nice. She used to be an executive at a company up in San Francisco, and just moved down here. Just, you know, I'm like, oh, huh, well.
At some point, you go like, so why are you with...
Well, that's the thing. She met my friend drunk, and he's the worst when he's drunk. I'm like, and she's like, yeah, I met him in the Conor Khabib fight. And I'm like, oh, I asked him not to come over to my house that night because he was so drunk. I'm like, you still liked him? Fuck. Hey, man, if you can't take him as Conorist, you don't deserve him as Khabibist. So, good for you. But anyway...
That actually worries me just a little how put together she is, because that means, like... I feel like she's going to be the worst, like when the dark side comes out of her.
She's
like,
going to be like single white female. Like,
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I don't know. Do you ever have a friend, though, that has this horrible track record.
Oh, of course.
Of just being with the worst people, that, and you feel powerless.
Yeah.
Right. You know.
Well, the problem too is when you see that they make the same mistake like over and over and over again, just with different people. It's
right.
Like,
yeah.
It's like the kid who keeps touching the stove. He's just trying different burners. You know, he's like, well, the first one was hot, but I don't know about the second one, and right. Like just continually touches the stove.
Right.
It's more like they keep touching the same burner. Like, nah, I'm gonna wear this thing down eventually. I got it.
I will fucking beat you, yeah. Stove.
Well, yeah, it's almost like they're bored not touching the burner because there had been times with this particular friend after he had like three awful women in a row. He brought a girl to like a Halloween party a couple years ago who was very nice, very polite. And she's like, yeah, I like to cut it off at like three or four drinks. You know, I get a little buzz, but not too much. I'm like, the next day, I'm like, dude, she was great. And he's like, nah. Boring. I'm like, oh, I see what's going on here. Yeah. Okay.
Now, yeah. There's also the friend. I don't know if you guys have this friend who has this pattern, but they're aware of it. That makes it so much more frustrating.
It really is.
Because it's like, dude, you keep doing this. He's like, yeah, I know. It's like, come on. Last girl fucking beat you.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, well, I had a buddy who did that a bunch and then eventually ended up marrying one of them. And it was funny because he was a comedian and he married a woman who, A, never thought he was funny, but then, B, also didn't really get the concept of humor. She once explained to my wife, like, I just don't understand comedy. Like, I don't get humor. And I was like, go marry a fucking Amish person. This is the wrong person for you. If half their life is based on something funny, I want to go see this comedy movie, I want to go see some stand-up, I am myself a stand-up.
Hey, babe, what do you think of this bit?
Yeah, exactly. And they're like,
just cigar store Indian.
Yeah, and he was like, well, she didn't hit me, so I guess it was funny enough.
Okay, so that was the benchmark for him.
Right, and so eventually, like, yeah, that ended up breaking up very telltale-y. And thankfully, when he finally then did find a really good girlfriend, which he still has now, who loves him and thinks he's funny and likes comedy and all this stuff, it's almost as if you yourself have found the right partner. You're like, I'm so excited for you. This is awesome. I'm not going to have to sit there across the table from this person when we have our couples dinners and pretend like they're not batshit crazy and I don't hate them for how horrible they are to yeah. you. Like, I love this new person. That moment when they find, and maybe this is that moment for your buddy, when they find the person who's finally, like, good and nice for them, I swear it's almost more exciting for you than it is for that person.
Oh, no, 100%. 100%. And you're like, you're trying to, like, coach them not to fuck it up or to just throw it away.
Right.
You know? Like,
you're more invested than they are. You're like, wait, you guys aren't going out tonight? Is something wrong? Like, is everything okay?
You're on your way home on Valentine's Day. You're like, you didn't get her anything. Here, this is for my wife, but you take this. You take this right now.
My car peels out to a U-turn.
Yeah.
I'm coming over. Yeah, you know, because whoever you're friends with is an extension of them. And so if you don't like the person, either you're going to see less of them or more of the person you don't like.
Right.
So, yeah, you are invested in
And
that.
It also ruins your friend. Like, when my buddy was with this horrible woman, she just made him into a sad person.
Oh, yeah,
she was just
absolutely.
A sad human.
Just like the sad husk of
and
a
like,
hopeless.
Anything he would do that was excited, he'd be like, he'd come home and he'd be like, I had a great set. You wouldn't believe it. You know, it was just an open mic, but I went in and I killed ACC and everybody was laughing. And she'd be like, oh, really? How much did you get paid for it? And he'd be like, thanks. Or he'd come in and be like, hey, guess what? I got booked on this show. I'm finally getting paid. You know, I did really, really well and somebody noticed that I got booked. Oh, really? How much does it pay? That's like an hour's worth of work. And like, it would just always be belittling to whatever he had accomplished. So he was never allowed to be happy because anytime he came to her with his happiness, she would shoot him down. And so now that there's somebody who is much more supportive and instead is like, yeah, way to go. Good job on that open mic. I'm glad you got booked. This is awesome. It's a change 180 degrees in that person's personality.
Yeah, it is. It is. I just love that person that can always tear you down no matter what.
Yeah.
Hey, I think I found a cure for cancer. Shame you didn't find it before it killed your father.
Well, it's
wow.
When we first met her, we're like, how does this happen? How does a person become like this? Like, how is a person so negative and shitty? And then at one time, our buddy was like, hey, guys, talk to all our friends. Hey, guys, my fiance is moving. We have to move and she's going to move in with me. Can you come help me move? And we went and helped her and her mom move. So like they were moving out from a different place. We were just by being nice, not only helping him, we were helping her mom move to help her out with no payment, no nothing,
oh, no.
Just as a favor.
Hey, Bobby, right when she said, can you help me move? You'd be like, how much does
it pay?
Doesn't feel good, does it, bitch?
So we went to go help her mom move and her mom A, belittled, and B, talked down to as if we were laborers, and then C, at one point, flipped out and yelled at us, who were helping her move for free,
oh, wow.
And you look and you go, Oh, this is where the bitch comes in.
Yeah. I see what happened.
This is.
Here. Yeah.
You didn't even need to tell me that before I figured that out. That is complete parental fuck up.
And you could tell, too, she had somebody who had a well paying executive job and stuff and hadn't been like talked to negatively in a long time. And one of us just turned to her and went, "Excuse me, you know, we're doing this for free and there's no reason to be a bitch." And her face was the most priceless thing I had ever seen.
Because they can't handle that they have no recourse.
Right,
like,
right.
They've been so conditioned to being in charge, in control, and have the ability to fire someone.
You heard a monocle crash from a mile away. Yeah. The shock of it all.
What did she say in response?
She literally was speechless. She stopped, took a step back, looked with her mouth open speechlessly, and then just kind of like walked away.
And I'll tell you what that was. That was literally her going through her brain thinking, okay, you can fire him.
Yeah.
No, you can't. You can say, "I'm docking your pay." No, I'm not paying him.
You'll never work in this town again.
No, I got nothing.
Nothing.
I'm not used to this.
Yeah,
that was her brain saying, "Does not compute."
Yeah, yeah. That's why I love being the customer vigilante that I am.
Oh, yeah.
Is when I see people, it's very much the type of woman or man you're describing that yells at people in CVS going, "Are you a fucking idiot?" Because they don't have what they wanted in stock. Like it's somehow their fault.
Yeah. Hey, cashier, you own CVS.
Yeah, you fucking moron. Like, you know, they'll talk to them like that because just like at work or just like with their milquetoast shell of a man husband, they know that if they say anything back, they can go talk to their manager and get them fired.
Yep.
So when I, from behind them in line, say, "Hey, why don't you shut up, bitch?" They go, "Oh, I don't know that!" They have nothing, and it's great. I love that.
You know, somebody should pay us to walk around like, you know, like just a community service. You know,
really?
Just walk around.
You shut down a shitty customer? How much do you get paid for that?
If the CVS Corporation was smart, they would hire somebody to pretend to be a customer, kind of like a security guard, and just wander around all day long looking for shitty customers to talk down to.
The best part of that, though, like that is an awesome feeling, Ryan, when you get to do that. But the best part is, like, I remember years ago, I was in line at Target or something, trying to return something. I think it was like the day before Christmas Eve. It's like a lot of people in line, and this guy was being an asshole, and you're thinking like, it's not the cashier's fault. If you can say something just not completely aggressive, but making the point, and you'll get the entire line of people behind you on your side.
Ooh,
so that person can't even come back at all.
So you use heckler methodology.
Hey, you know it's not her fault, right? The computer's probably busy right now because there's so many people trying to do something. Something like that. You just point out the obvious. Everybody in line with you is thinking the same thing, but because you said it in such a nice, rational way, like, that guy has no recourse.
You know, as opposed to the way Ryan and I would start off, which would be like, "The computer would be a lot faster if you weren't so fat." Slow round of applause from the line.
And it's a skinny person, too. It's just like...
Oh, I love throwing insults that don't, like, line up at people. It just confuses the shit out of them.
Yeah. I love doing that. I don't do it often because it's hard to pull off when you're driving. Instead of road rage, just do rational insults. Like someone cuts you off or is driving poorly, you get up next to them, roll the window down, get them to roll theirs down, and just yell, "You're a terrible driver. You should stay home," and you speed away.
See, that's nice. I have a very similar tactic, which is I get in front of them and I start throwing pennies out my sunroof.
Yes, that's a good one. I use that one as well. I learned that one in the Bay. Though what I want to rig up, and I've been talking to some friends about this for a long time. I don't know if you guys have seen those. You know those scrolling LCD signs that you know will like they'll be outside of a restaurant or something and say "open" or "come try our new thing."
Yeah, right.
I want to rig one of those up in my back window with some kind of voice to text option that goes up to the front, so that instead of having to get them to roll down the window, I can just pull in front of them and it'll say something like, "Just because you're Asian doesn't mean you have to drive like it." Like just something along those lines.
Oh my,
that took a hard turn.
Yeah,
I became staunchly.
Oh, let's all pretend like Asians don't drive badly. Come on.
I think that Bobby's like a really long messenger. Like he has to be in front of him for a while so they can, it scrolls across in its entirety.
That is why my dream is to put in my car one of those little, they look like transistor radios, but they go to an intercom outside your car. Police have them.
Yeah.
I want that so much so as soon as I'm cut off, all of a sudden you just hear my raspy voice come out the speaker like, "All right, son of a bitch, I'm following you all the way home, and you're going to have to endure every fucking minute of this verbal abuse."
I had one of those in high school, which also played like La Cucaracha and a bunch of other stuff, and you could pull up the mic and do it. First of all, they're dirt cheap. You can go buy one and put one in very easily. Second of all, they're tons of fun.
Yeah.
Hey, Ryan, I want to ask you something. You've got a tour coming up.
Right.
Now, I just have to know the variety of people that come out of the woodwork, because I've seen a couple posts. The one that caught my eye today that made me want to bring this up is a couple guys suggesting spots for you to get time.
Now, right.
This is a tour that you've booked.
Yes.
And so there's a type of comments like, oh, you're going on tour? Add these to the extensively planned out and scheduled thing that you have.
There's that. There's that. Now, the one that I always get is, dude, oh, you're going to this town. Take me with you. I'm from there or know people there, and I will sell it
I'll
out.
I'll pack the
room. Which, yes. By the way, is legitimate if that guy can do that. If what they're saying is you're going nearby and you don't already have that. Like, it'd be one thing if you're like, yeah, well, thanks, but that show's sold out. But, like,
right.
If what you're saying is we were going there and we're not sure how we're going to sell, and if you really think you could sell it out, here's the problem. Those guys can never sell it out.
Right, no. Because if they could, they wouldn't be curtailing on someone else's tour.
Right.
They would just go.
I had the luxury of growing up a 2.5-hour drive from San Diego, so it was only a tank of gas for me to go home and find out that all the people that hit you up on Facebook then say, oh, dude, tell me when you come back to the old town, we'll all come out in full force.
Yeah.
It only cost me a tank of gas to find out that is not the case.
Right. Oh, yeah. A tank of gas and a 3-person show.
Yes, that's right. So it's like I want to say to them, like, I understand why you're saying this to me. I understand that everyone from Long Island tells you, oh, please come back home and do a show.
Right.
We'll all be there. But I cannot afford to pay for your reality check. Because you're going to get there and fucking, I'm sure their seats will be filled because of you. 4 of them. And it's just not worth the plane ticket for number one. But what's going to happen after that is you're going to get so many texts going, dude, crazy night. Michelle broke out in this rash, dude. Yeah. Dude.
Babysitter canceled.
Tell me when the next one is.
Yeah.
There's
so casual to that.
Oh, yeah.
That you just flew 3,000 miles to acquiesce to their request that they've been harassing you with for fucking 3 years to come play a show and I will be there. That they treat it like as if like you still live there.
Yeah. There's that type of person who like says they'll go see you, but they won't.
Right.
There's also the type of person who's like, oh my God, you're coming to this city? You should come here too. I'll come see you if you come to this town. Like, I planned this tour out. I have my stops already. I can't just.
Also, it's like, hey, while you're here, go to this city. It's like, great. If only 70 more people said that sentence to me, that would make sense. Right. Unfortunately, you're the only one. So, no, I will not be coming there.
Or, how would you like to pay for a $2,000 ticket?
Yeah, sure.
But I do love the comics, the one I mentioned today, the ones who say, hey, hit up this spot, try to get booked here, because you have to imagine that's got to be the worst gig. Like, if someone's suggesting you hit up a room to get booked, it's like it's probably the side room of a bar on an off night in the worst part of town.
Right. And also,
at 5 p.m.
Most of the guys that say that, in a way, I envy them because they still love being on every show. They don't care about not getting paid because they're still doing it for the love of it. So to them, just getting on stage, even for 3 people, is a big treat.
Right.
As you know, but unfortunately, that's just not the case for me anymore. I'm going to be in Des Moines, Iowa, and I don't want to do a second show up there.
Not to sound like an asshole, but there's definitely a talent level discrepancy there. The kind of comic who is just excited to be anywhere is probably that excited because they're not good enough to get paid to be on real shows.
That's why I always laugh when people say, oh, I have a birthday show. I'm like, you're electing to work on your birthday?
You know what's funny is, if you look at that, there are people who can kind of pull this off, and they are entertainers that are able to pull crowds like a stand-up show, and if they're smart, they start picking up stand-up routines. So here's my best example of this. I recently went to see Neil deGrasse Tyson's speaking tour.
He's hilarious. Yeah.
He is, actually. He's really good. First of all, 6 months out, he sold out a 3,000-seat theater with an average ticket price of $110. And it's union, so he probably only took 75% of the door. But right there, he made about $300,000 in, and I think the ticket sold out in a few hours, right? Then he sold out the merch department before the show started. He sold 60, 70 grand worth of merch before the show started.
Mm-hmm.
Now you have a 3,000.
Now he's touring and Bill Nye's opening for him.
Well, no. So I went in and I was like, oh.
That's a co-headlining tour.
I'm thinking this is going to be kind of like a lecture series or whatever. He does a couple of different type of shows. This one was The Science of Movies. I got to give it to him, man. You can tell this is not just some astrophysicist who has a crowd and he's going to do his thing, or he's got a popular podcast, he's going to do his thing. He has studied stand-up. He had perfect stage control.
What's the deal with hydrogen?
Dude, he had studied stage mechanics. You guys know this. A lot of people don't know that when you're on stage, everything you do, the way you hold your hands, the way you move around a microphone, everything is part of the act.
Yeah.
And most presenters do not know this. Even people who have been doing this for years and years and years, they just think it's the material they're presenting. He did perfect stage mechanics. He had great physical reactions to things that were going on. He clearly studied stand-up.
By the way, just to your point, it is torture to be a stand-up comic with a day job where you regularly have to watch people who are bad at public speaking speak. You just sit there in your head like, are you fucking another how many ums are you gonna say up there?
Right. But well, that was kind of part of my lead-in, was when I was doing all the math in my head before the curtain came up and the show started. I was doing the math and I was like, motherfucker just made 400k in 2 hours, right? Mm-hmm. And I was like, and now we're gonna watch it. And I like Neil deGrasse Tyson, so I wouldn't be bothered if it was just a boring show, but I was like, now we're gonna watch a guy who doesn't know anything about, and he clearly has honed it. He was at the level of a high-level headliner stand-up comedian in terms of his stagecraft, his movements, his reaction with the audience. He did crowd work. He played the entire audience from the orchestra pit all the way up to the top seats. He did it excellently. He was just stunningly good at it. And to be able to watch somebody who had taken that and then adapted it, it reminds me, have you guys seen Brendan Schaub?
The former UFC fighter.
Stand-up.
So he used to play in the NFL. Then he moved from the NFL to the UFC. He fought as a heavyweight in the UFC. Did okay for a while.
He had like a 5-6 record or something.
Yeah, but he I think he was at the top, either one or was at the top of that tough. He was at the top of that tough heap that came out of the heavyweight one. Okay. And then did pretty well, and then moved into podcasting and stand-up. He started doing stand-up, and he has become really good. Like, if you watch he's about to do a Showtime special, but I saw some of his lead-up stuff to it. He's like where you would expect somebody to be after 10 or 15 years.
Okay, so that is great when people are able to do it well, but there's another side to that coin that I'm constantly...
A much larger side
fucking,
of that coin.
Yeah, that I'm tortured with constantly. It just happened to me last weekend. I was playing the Comedy Palace, and it was me and Jeff Bilodeau, another really good comic. So we were opening for a guy who... It was described as a YouTube star viral video guy. Yeah. And his whole thing, he became a viral video star because he does a character where he pretends to be like a Trump, like your quintessential Trump supporter, whatever.
So he's YouTube's version of Stephen Colbert.
Right. Yeah. And so,
not nearly as good, I'm sure.
And, you know, he goes up there and he's basically in his character the whole time. But the thing is, he did put asses in the seats.
Right. I 100%.
He did. And that's why we had to open for him. And he basically just stood up there and shouted out premises to jokes with no punchlines, which were, me and Jeff were sitting next to each other cringing. But his little peons were there. His minions were there. And they were just eating up every second of it. And it's so frustrating.
Yeah, the people who do it well are those who incorporate it and take it seriously. And you could tell guys like Neil deGrasse Tyson and Brendan Schaub have said, I am not there. I am going to study as hard as I can. I'm going to look at the same effort that I put into learning astrophysics or UFC. I'm going to put into this kind of stage performance and figure out how to do it. And they are incredibly successful because they have that drive and the willingness to learn. And they probably come from a place of understanding that they're not good at it to start out with. Then you get the YouTube guy.
Yeah, the frustrating part about what Ryan's talking about is those guys, they don't need to be good at it.
Yeah.
They're already a celebrity for some other reason.
That's right.
Being good in comedy, there's three components to it, I think. There's being comfortable on stage, having good material, and being able to draw a crowd.
Yeah.
These YouTube stars, these Vine stars, they have the comfortable on stage in the crowd. They don't need to be funny. Like, they can draw a crowd and people are going to laugh because, like, oh, that's that guy I watch
on
YouTube.
A lot of times they're not even comfortable on stage, too. They're visibly uncomfortable on stage. But like you said, if you can draw a crowd, you're getting the money for the tickets.
One of the most frustrating and hilarious examples of this is the morning radio guy, local guy also decides, well, I've got all these fans from my fucking morning zoo show. I'm going to go into the local comedy scene and bother everyone over there. And then they show up, and because they are on a fucking radio show that all the townies listen to on their drive to their shit job at the dirt factory, they show up.
Yeah.
And they crush it because these people are there. I'm always like, you know what? come with me to a gig in Arizona.
Yeah.
Come with me. Come with me where nobody knows that right. you're on Boomer and Floor Wax in the morning. Right. And
go one step further, though. There's even a thing. This is going on in San Diego right now. They replaced a good morning show with two people who were like reality TV stars yeah. from like, they were on Laguna Beach 10 years ago or yes, they were on The Bachelorette.
Something.
So even then, doing radio, doing morning radio, takes a skill level. It may not be a stand-up skill level. It is its own skill level. Those guys end up getting replaced by completely talentless people who are on The Bachelorette. And that happened here. Yeah. That happened in a major network yeah. here. And
it's so fucking frustrating.
And I know that it sounds like what we're doing is easy right now, talking to each other. Like, I know that most people that listen to something like this go, I can do that. Me and my friends have really good conversations.
So many bad podcasts. Oh, my God.
Anyone who thinks that has never heard a podcast when it's just me and Dave, because it's horrible.
Yeah, but then you see the result of that, and just like on radio, you just hear these people. Sometimes I tune in, I turn off my iPhone, yeah. I unplug the aux cable, I'm like, what's going on in morning radio these days? And it's just two people that, when those mics go hot, suddenly they freeze up, man. They're just like, Did you see this news? Bobby, do it with me here. Did you see this this news article?
What is this news article?
I
can't.
Trump's at it again, man.
Oh,
boy.
He's a Republican.
Yeah. Oh, big time.
Did you know he was on reality TV before
Right,
this?
Right. That's where we're at as a nation now.
Hey, let's do a fake bit where somebody caught their partner cheating.
Oh, right, yeah.
Let's do that.
Yeah, we have a guy calling in that's telling that a local comedian we paid $50 to.
50, I get 40, you son of a
bitch. Dave, you've actually done that bit, haven't you?
We both done it. Yeah.
Oh, have you?
Yeah.
See, Ryan, your voice is too distinctive. I wouldn't have picked you.
They do. It was not in San Diego. It was not a San Diego
one. Yeah, one of mine was for Hawaii. I forget what
that was. Yeah, I did the Hawaii one.
You guys have heard those, like, War of the Roses. All that shit is fake.
War of Roses,
it's horribly. And by the way, you know they're fake for a few reasons, one of which is, you know they don't allow people to curse on the radio, right? And so if you just found out your girlfriend was cheating on you, you'd probably drop a couple of F-bombs right off the bat.
Darn it.
So listen to this. Here's the War of the Roses thing. If you're not familiar with that, it's every fucking morning radio does it. It's so hacky as shit where it's, we have Vanessa on the line. She thinks her boyfriend's cheating on her, so we're going to be little scoundrels here in the studio here at fucking Boomer and Floor Wax and Moo Cow. We're going to call him up and pretend to be a flower delivery service that's giving him free flowers, and then we're going to see who he delivers them to. And it's always, my side piece, Carly. Oh, we have Vanessa on the line. Blah, blah, blah.
And by the way, there's never enough questions, because guess what? I've been on this planet for 34 years. I've never received a call from a florist saying I would like to give you free flowers.
Well, no, here's the thing. That's more to my point. Number one, they always pick up their phone. Who answers their cell phone for numbers they don't know in 2018? No one.
Yeah.
So they always answer. They're batting 1,000 with people answering. There's never been one War of the Roses where they're like, went to voicemail. Well, that bit fucking blew up in our face, didn't it?
And there's never one where somebody picks up the phone and goes, who the fuck is this? Like, there's none of that.
No, and also, if a florist did call me and said, like, hey, Ryan, we'd like to offer you a free gift, I'd say, hey, go fuck yourself.
Yeah, right. 100%.
I don't know what the angle is, but I'm not going to go, sounds great.
Send this to this address, which I'm going to give you freely.
Yeah. So the morning radio is just horrible in general. Like, I never listen to morning radio because I hate that shit, but I heard one recently where these idiots, it's like some morning show where they do prank phone calls. It's not even like a relationship. They do pranks. So their whole bit was they called this florist, and through this excruciatingly bad like 4 minutes of them doing their gag and giggling at each other, they ended up like trying to place an order for like $30 worth of just baby's breath. And so the chick is like, no one's going to like this. It's not very good. No, it's cool. So then like at the end, the guy finally goes, hey, I'm just kidding, Gina. Cancel the order. You're on Jibba Jabba with ski wax and whatever. And it's like the chick just laughs. It's like, you really think you're that well known?
Right.
Yeah. That some worker, you interrupt their day and they'll be like, oh, it's you guys from Morning Show. Oh, this is hilarious.
Who plays the most hits?
Yeah.
Well, here's the other thing, too.
So fucking annoying.
If you think about if those War of the Roses were true, every once in a while, you'd get some domestic violence guy who'd go and beat the fuck out of his girlfriend, and that radio station would be sued to shit.
Yeah, there's that. Like you said, they never cuss, and when they do, they know right when to bleep it.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't know if you've ever been listening to the radio when a caller like legitimately does cuss. They have to hit a delay button, and you're like, what happened? And all of a sudden, like 30 seconds later, they come back like, whoa, none of that. So, they don't just fucking have a little beep thing right there.
ready to go. But here's the thing that drove me crazy. At an old day job I had about 3 years ago, every morning all the chicks in this office would gather around either a computer or a fucking phone listening to that morning's War of the Roses. They'd get so excited for it. It's on. Oh my God, he's so busted. And so finally, maybe I shouldn't have done this. Maybe I shouldn't have rained on the parade. I'm like,
oh, did you take Santa Claus away?
I kind of did. I'm like, yeah, that's fake. And I had the conversation I just had with you guys right here. Like, they never cuss. They always answer. I'm like, they're like, no. I'm like, I was on this show.
Let me show you my pay stub from when I did this.
I was on four of them. Here, I have one recorded. I'm like, there I am. I'm like, one time I was supposed to be.
They all look at each other and they're like, Ryan got caught.
I'm like, well, one time I was the guy getting caught. One time I was the person like, Jesus, Gina, I can't believe this. So I'm like, yeah, it's all fake. It's fucking made up. And they're like, oh my God, here's what drove me nuts. 3 days later, I walk in and they're all still listening to it. Yeah. Guys, I told you this is fake. They're like, it's still funny. I'm like, how is it still funny?
Yeah.
It's just two guys pretending.
Just so you guys know, that is the exact reaction I had when everybody kept watching wrestling after they announced it was fake. I was like, it's fake. Why are you still watching?
It's an
you crossed the line.
How dare you?
Go
watch the UFC. We have real fighting.
Yeah, no stunners.
Yeah.
Dude, I don't know. That's the kind of shit that makes me want to pitch myself off the top of a tall building is the fact that the majority of Americans are entertained by that bullshit.
Yeah, it's still on the air.
Yeah.
Like every time.
That's why YouTube stars can get booked to headline a fucking club when they suck at comedy.
Yeah.
Celebrity just counts for too much in our industry, and it's terrible.
I seriously sometimes want to like smack my, even I have friends that are like, yeah, did you listen to Moo Cow in the morning today? I'm like, are you fucking serious? I'm like, look, let me pull up my phone. Here are 3 billion podcasts covering a variety of things. Are you into Goosebumps from the 90s? I got a podcast for that. Do you hear a comedian interviewing other comedians? I got a podcast for that. Do you want to hear about car parts? I have a podcast for that.
Right.
You don't need to listen to these assholes anymore.
And they're like, well, yeah, but I'd have to get some kind of complicated piece of equipment. You're like, the one that's in your pocket! It's in your pocket right now!
Yeah. That's why Redbox still exists. People like, you can literally spend $100 and have every movie just pumped into your TV from now on. You don't need Redbox anymore. Like, that's too complicated.
Yeah.
Is there like a wire that I'm... They're going to call it like an HT... I'm not in the mood for that kind of conversation. We just simple folks here. We don't want to spend 3 minutes learning something new. Speaking of UFC, Bobby, the Khabib-Conor brawl.
You guys all have heard about this undoubtedly. We got to see it live at Ryan's house. By the way, great party, Ryan.
Thank you.
That was one of the fun ones. First of all, that card was just amazing. The Derek Lewis fight.
Ferguson.
Pettis and Ferguson was amazing. There was so many good fights on that card. Exactly what we thought would happen happened. Khabib wore him out, out-wrestled him, took him down, pounded him out. He did.
Jumped
Khabib.
The cage. Yeah,
you guys know that I am the biggest Conor fanboy there is.
You ran around with an Irish flag all night.
Yeah. I did. Just for the last fight. Don't exaggerate. But the Irish person in me was hoping Conor would win. But the wrestler in me knew that a wrestler controls where the fight goes always.
Yeah.
So the thing is, even as a fan of Conor, I don't want to see a rematch. This is not like Anderson Silva versus Chris Weidman where he got clipped and you're like, oh, if not for that, he probably would have won.
Yeah, he had a 10-8 round in there. Like it was pretty dominant.
Yeah.
And so
anyway, the big news story though is that after the fight, after Khabib beat Conor by people think it was a rear naked choke. That's actually
it wasn't. It was a jaw compression.
Neck crank.
It was listed as a neck crank. It was not a leg crank. It was a jaw compression. He had him in the rear naked choke, but it wasn't sunk in under the neck. It was on the jaw.
Right.
When you squeeze that one, if you don't tap to it, your jaw snaps.
Bobby, please. Ryan's trying to make a point.
So anyway, he won. Now the thing is, Khabib did the thing to do with a trash talker is because the reason that Conor's been so dominant is because he rattles people's cages.
Yeah.
He rattled Jose Aldo's cage, and by the time fight night came around, he just charged at him and got clipped.
Yeah.
So Khabib kept his composure, and you're thinking like, that's not fun. You really want to stick it to a guy that's been talking all this shit for fucking a year, and so he kept his composure. Wrestled him to the ground, and you can. There's footage of it. If you get in really close, once he had him down and was throwing punches at his jaw, in Russian he was going, "What's up now, bitch? Talk now."
Also, in American, he was talking shit to him.
Yeah, yeah. He was going.
Let's talk. You want to talk?
Let's talk now. Why are you not talking now? And that was brilliant. Yeah. But afterwards, after he beat him, he jumps over the cage and attacks his corner, right. Connor's corner.
Yeah. Got it. He went after Dylan Danis, who was the jiu-jitsu instructor. Ironically, Khabib attacked a jiu-jitsu guy and got his ass beat. He got punched after the fight.
Didn't exactly. I thought that too. But also, Dylan Danis had a concussion later that night.
Right, because he got sucker punched by one of his teammates. It wasn't from Khabib. Khabib didn't get a punch in. It was one of Khabib's. They all jumped Dylan Danis, and he fought them off. So it is kind of a little bit of a loss victory when you randomly attack a dude in the audience who isn't even known for striking, who then beats you and your team back. But during that. Another one of Khabib.
This is the most shameful part of it. Now, let me tell you, before Bobby reveals what happens next, you probably already know, but Khabib jumping over the cage and attacking Dylan, that unsportsmanlike, but at least it's not cowardly.
No, I think it's cowardly. I think it's incredibly cowardly when you attack what is at that point a civilian. And you just jump off the cage with a flying jump kick at a guy. Maybe he's talking shit. Guess what? People talk shit during fights. Yeah. You cannot go out into the audience and fight people. That's disgusting to me, because that is...
No, apparently if you talk bad about someone's religion, country, and family, then all
that... Well, don't have a stupid religion, family, or country! but regardless, so he jumped off and attacked them. Then some of Khabib's crew, as Connor then jumped the cage to kind of go into his corner and help them out, one of the security officials pulled Connor down, so he couldn't do that. Then one of Khabib's guys ran across the cage, was trying to go over the same place Connor was to try and jump into the fray. Connor pulled him down, and they tussled. They fought a little bit, just a few punches thrown. Then a third Khabib teammate...
This is the most cowardly.
Yes, super cowardly. Hops over the fence behind Connor and starts sucker-punching him from
behind.
In the
back of the head. Now, this is a guy that has just fought four hard rounds.
And the guy who's sucker-punching him isn't just a regular dude. He's a UFC fighter.
Right, right. And so he knows how to throw a punch.
Yeah, he was. and cowardly fight... punches Connor from behind. Connor kind of gets away from it, and the security breaks it up. There's more rumbles.
Couple things there. If you get that clean of a sucker punch and you don't knock the guy at least down,
you suck.
You're kind of a pussy.
Yeah.
Second, he posted a video. The guy who swung at him posted a video, like, all proud of it, saying that he slapped Connor like he told him he would.
Yeah, it was... Listen, Russians aren't good people. Find me a good human being who's a Russian. It doesn't exist. They're the worst elements of our society.
My friend dates them. They're that bad.
Yeah.
The biggest fallout, though, and we're going to wait to see how this shakes out, the guy who sucker-punched Connor, Dana said he's out of the UFC.
Yeah.
Khabib has now said that if you kick him out, I'm quitting the UFC.
And 50 Bye. Cent has put out an advertisement saying, Khabib, if you come to Bellator, because he's a part owner of Bellator, I'll give you $2 million, which was the purse that the Nevada Athletic Commission held back from Khabib, and we'll take your buddy.
Dana's really fucked himself into a corner on this one. He's great at, like, talking bullshit and double-talking. No, he's great at that, at lying and making up stories and twisting his own words. I want to see how he talks his way out of this one, because he can't do anything to Khabib because he didn't punish Connor. He actually defended Connor's actions a couple days before.
It's a little different when you randomly attack people in the arena. It's also what I would say is
But he's Dana's boxed himself into a corner, so I just want to see what he does.
Here's what I would do if I was Dana.
If he kowtows to Khabib's demands and keeps the guy in, now he's set the precedent that the fighters can tell him what to do.
Yes. Yeah.
If he doesn't, Khabib could leave.
He can't go. He can't go anywhere. He's still under contract.
Yeah. He could not fight for the UFC.
Yeah, that's what I think he does. I think what Dana does is he puts his foot down and he says, go ahead, 50 Cent, try to. I'll own Bellator the second you put Khabib in the ring because you just broke a contract.
But he's still losing what is right now a huge draw.
Doesn't matter. He'll get a big draw from Connor, from somebody else. Khabib is a dime a dozen. He's a great fighter. Don't get me wrong. Guess what? Everybody was saying this about Connor a year ago. You can't let Connor leave the UFC. Guess what? Now somebody else is the top one. Somebody else will be the top of the heap. Brian Ortega will be the top of the heap. Somebody else will be the top of the heap.
No one gives a flying fuck about Ronda Rousey these days.
Yes, but the UFC is way bigger than Khabib.
You and Brian Ortega, did you guys grow up together or something? You're just always
Brian Ortega is the next stud of the UFC. Watch that guy. He's awesome.
All right.
All right, let's call the week. Before, though, gotta announce my tour dates. This is my Midwest tour. I'm going out with Dan Bubutz. First, November 3rd, I'll be at Huron, South Dakota at the Plains. November 4th, I'll be in Watertown, South Dakota at Sassy's. I'm actually kind of happy about that. I was playing a place called Roadhouse 81, and Sassy sounds a little safer.
Right.
Then
there'll be no Dalton there to keep you safe, so we'll see.
Then on November 5th, I'll be in Moline, Illinois at the Broken Saddle. Sounds like a gay bar. Maybe it is. Then I will be in Springfield, Illinois at the Black Sheep on November 6th. November 7th, I'll be in Kansas City, Missouri at the Red Front Bar and Grill.
And on November 8th, I'll be in Des Moines, Iowa at Felix and Oscar's. And then I'm closing the tour out November 9th at Oh So Good in Garrison, South Dakota. I'm making a big loop coming back to South Dakota. All right, I'm Ryan for Dave and Bobby saying see you next week, cruising with the twos.
The computer'd be a lot faster if you weren't so fat.
Yeah, time passing by. Motherfucking time is passing by.